my college Bible right here. It's the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And Brother Howes is in here. Curtis Hudson is in here. Dr. Young, Brother Darrell Moore, and many, many others. And Lane Jones is in here. And you preach, I was a freshman. And might have been sophomore, I don't remember. But it's one of my early years in college. And he preached. And I wrote a note in here. Started a church in the Philippines at 1,046 on his first year anniversary! Exclamation point. And he gave that testimony while he was preaching that day in chapel. And, you know, I'm so thankful. Now, my mom and dad are fine, by the way. They've been with my older sister, with her for a couple weeks, and they're coming back this week. So, but anyway, I'm really thankful that my dad always had a good spirit toward God's servants. You know, God's servants can be very, very different, you know. God's servants. Some of the God's servants in the Bible had a hard time getting along with each other. But, and some great men in the past have had a hard time getting along with each other. We'll be in heaven together, so no fret over that. But I'm glad that I saw by example to love and admire and appreciate God's servants. Now, I think yesterday morning when I was up thinking and meditating, and some of these, I thought about Brother Cadmus going to heaven. And I thought, you know, my life has been touched by some great men. Great men. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that I got to hear Curtis Hudson sing, "I'm on the winning side," just before he went to heaven. And young people, listen, when one of God's choice servants comes and stands before you, and we've had some choice ones come to this pulpit, you just soak it up. And one day you'll say, you know, I heard Lane Jones in person. I was there. He gave his life story. You ever done this before? First time he ever gave his life story. I was there. And but a great servant of the Lord, a great humble servant. Brother Jones, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so glad we get to partner with you in a small way in the work. And you come share your story. We're anxious tonight. Amen.
Appreciate you. Amen. I'm so encouraged to be in this church. It's a blessing. Your pastor is a great Christian, and his wife. Really love them. And I can't sing, but I can preach, amen. My daddy told me, he said, "Son, you sound like a dying calf in a hailstorm when I sang." But I don't know what to begin on my life story. I was preaching a church somewhere, and I told about the time. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm a ridge runner. And in North Carolina, we had gullies. Y'all know what gullies are, aren't you? Don't you? And we get on these gullies, and we play King on a Mountain. One of us get on top, and the other try to get up there. We'd knock them back down. And we used to get on top of the gully and get in these old washing machine boxes or dryer box, get inside the dryer box, and they tie us up with a rope around the box. Then they'd push us down the hill. We'd bounce off of trees. Used to get in tires like that, curl up in a big tire, push you down the tree, you bounce off the trees. Man, we had a blast. I told that in one church one time, went and sat down beside my wife, and she looked at me and she said, "That's what happened to you." Bounced off too many trees. But I don't know how to start my life story. You know, I used to cry myself to sleep at night because my mother had cancer, and been a lot of songs about going to heaven. You know, the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be with the Lord. Not the blinking, but the twinkling, just the sparkle, we're going to be with the Lord. My mama's in heaven. My daddy's in heaven. My brother's in heaven. My sister's in heaven. And I'm not made it there yet, but I'm on my way, amen? And either he comes or we're going to go, amen? but one day we'll be with Jesus Christ. And I was born on December 24th, 1950, in Mercy Hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. And my mother, when she got the baby, she looked at me and she said, "What kind of Christmas present is this?" And so I always get cheated at Christmas. And my daddy said, "Forget it, son. Christmas, wait till the next day." So let me read you some verses first, like a base of Psalms 142. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. You know, whatever happens in our life, it's for a purpose. Amen? Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So there's no use to be bitter about anything. Amen? I had a hard time growing up. I used to cry myself to sleep at night. My mother had cancer. She had 7 major operations in 7 years. And that was in the 1960s. And they didn't have any chemotherapy then. If they found a spot, they'd cut it out. They cut off her left breast. They cut off her right breast. They opened her stomach up. It kept spreading. And I was standing beside her bed on October 8, 1965, and she died. I was 14 years old. And I started praying when I was a little boy. You know what I prayed about? I prayed that my mother would die. Because my father kept taking us back and forth to the hospital. And my mother was in such pain. And I was standing beside her bed when she died. You know, they got monitored today to put your heartbeat up there. Before, they had a black bag. And you breathe in and expand, breathe in and expand. I just stood beside her bed one day for about 2 or 3 hours, me and my sister and my brother. And until that bag quit and she was gone. But, you know, I was thinking about the people here, talking about the ones going to heaven. Since I've been in the Philippines, I think we've got about 20 people in heaven now that have died. And because somebody cared. Amen? My wife cared for me. She cared enough for her people to pray for me to go back there. And the Bible says in Psalms 142, "I cried unto the Lord my voice, with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me." No man cared for my soul. You know, something that will never go out of style is caring for other people. And the Bible, you know, others need you to care for them. I grew up, my mother had cancer. And my sister got saved, and she sent 2 soul winners to her house. And I'm a soul winner today because soul winning works. Soul winning changes people's lives. My daddy was a truck driver, and he drove an 18-wheeler out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Stigall Trucking Company. And he stayed awake one time for 2 weeks, didn't sleep. California pep pills. And he would take these pills, drugs, stay awake. Then he would come home and he'd take these black beauties, which were to bring him down from his high. He was high and it'd bring him down. And then he'd start drinking Seagram 7 or Kentucky Gentleman. He'd start drinking. You're talking about crazy then, drugs and drinking, amen? In the Philippines, they drink. And the Bible says the drunkard shall come to poverty. They drink in the Philippines, and that's one thing that really bothered me when I went to the Philippines. So many young kids sit around drinking because the Catholic Church teaches them to drink. The priest drinks, And he said, it's all right to drink because Jesus drank at the marriage of Cana. But Jesus didn't drink strong drink. Amen. And, but over here, they drink Bud Stupider, amen, not Budweiser. And Miller Low Life, amen, not Miller High Life. And, but my daddy would drink. He'd come home, and we'd go hide in the woods. And my mother was sick with cancer, and he'd take his fist and hit my mother in the mouth, and she spit out teeth. And my mother would never leave. My daddy shot my mother one time with a gun, broke her arm, shot an arm. She lied to the police. She said it was an accident. You know, so many people today, you know, the marriage don't last long, but I learned something from my mother. She'd grab a hold of my father. She'd get on her knees and grab a hold of his legs, and he was drunk. She said, Oscar, I love you. She never did leave my father, and until she died. But my father was a mean man. I've seen him punch my brother in the face and knock my brother down. My brother had a white shirt on, T-shirt. He'd punch my brother in the face, knock him down to bed. My brother would get back up, he'd punch him again. And by the time it was over, his white shirt was covered in blood. So that's what I went through when I was young. And I cried myself to sleep so many times. But I figured, listen, all that is working together for good. Amen. Amen. You can't let anything bother you like that. God's just making me hard so I can make it as a missionary. And, but my mother died in October the 8th, 1965. And one thing I remember about my mother when I was a little boy, she said, I'd tell my mama, she'd teach me how to tie my shoe, and I'd say, Mama, I can't do it. I can't tie my shoe. I can't do it. And she'd look at me and she said, Son, can't never did do nothing. She said, you need to get a can't opener. And my mother taught me, we can do all things through Christ. Amen. Amen. We can do it. We can do it through Christ. We can do anything through Christ. Because he gave us the power to do it. And my mother, one time I remember she went to the store for something. And I was the only one in the house. My brother's out running the streets. My brother died 43 years old, heart attack, heroin addict, $200 a day habit, 43 years old he died, 7 years state penitentiary, armed robbery. He was mean as a snake. But my mother went to the store one day, and I was the only one in the house, and she came back and she said, Son, she looked on top of the refrigerator. On top of the refrigerator, we had a glass, and inside the glass was chocolate chip cookies. Amen. Getting hungry now, right? Chocolate chip cookies. And she came back from the store, and I was just a little squirt. And she said, Son, where's the chocolate chip cookies on top of the refrigerator? And I had cookie crumbs all over my mouth. My stomach was big. And I said, Mama, I don't know. And she took her finger and pointed at my face. She said, you stole the cookies and then you lied about it. And I never will forget what she said. She said, Son, you better be good because Jesus is coming soon. And that scared me right there about doing what is wrong. You know, sin is sin. Amen. Oh, in the Philippines, they say, oh, it's all right, a little bit of lie. No, it's not a little bit. Lying is sin. Lying, it's an abomination to God. Amen? And my father, my father, I can get behind him. We were out in a car one day driving. He'd get behind somebody going slow. He said, Son, those people going nowhere and got all day to get there in. And I remembered, we got to do something. We got to go. We got to have something for God for us to do. God's got something for us to do. But my father, the preacher, when I went to started going to this Baptist church, two ladies came by our house and knocked on our door, and my mother let them in the house. I was the only one in the house then, little boy, I guess 10 years old. And they came in. My mother had cancer, and she let them in, and two ladies from a Baptist church, Yorkmont Baptist Church, Charlotte, North Carolina, they came in. They sat down on the couch. We had a glass coffee table, and they said, "We want to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven." And I'm glad you can know for sure you're going to heaven, amen. It's not perhaps, it's for sure. And my mama said, "Wait a minute, I got a Bible." She went in the back room. She had this old Bible, big family Bible that she had. And she said, "I want you to show me from this Bible." I guess she didn't trust their Bible. And they took that big old Bible and laid it on the coffee table and showed my mother how to be saved. And my mother accepted Christ. She got saved. And right there, things started to change. When Jesus comes in, things start to change. Amen? Keep Jesus in your house. Amen? Jesus came in the door, and we're going to chase the devil out. Amen? And she said, after she got saved, she accepted Christ, and those ladies left. She came down to my room. She said, "Lane, we're going to the Baptist church on Sunday." And we started going to this Baptist church. And then my mother died. My father remarried. And the pastor would come over from this Baptist church, from that same Baptist church, witness my daddy. And he'd come over my daddy would curse the pastor out, and he would kick dirt up on him. How would you like to go soul winning? Somebody kicked dirt on you. Would you go back? This pastor kept coming back every week. Kept praying for Oscar to get saved. Oscar's mean as a snake. If there's an Antichrist, he was the Antichrist. And they kicked dirt up on the preacher. The preacher just kept on coming back. And one day we moved out in the country, had an old country house up on the steps. You had to climb the steps to get inside the house. My daddy had a massive heart attack. And he crawled up in the house. And my mother-in-law, she came home. Stepmother, she came home. My stepmother came home. And she found him laying in the bed. She said, "Oscar, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I'm sick." She said, "We got to take you to the doctor." He said, "I don't want to go to the doctor." He said, "I got to take a bath first." So she had to hold him up in the shower, 250-pound man, to take a shower before he went to the hospital. I'd already gone to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. This was 1969. My sister got me away from my daddy, and she took me to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. G.B. Vick was the president then. And when he walked in, you saluted him, man. G.B. Vick, wow, what a man. And they called us and said, "Your dad, you got to come home. Your dad's had a heart attack." My sister was going to Baptist Bible College. She had married the youth director of the church, and they surrendered, went to Baptist Bible College. They're going to be missionaries. So she took me to Baptist Bible College up there in Missouri, Springfield. We were staying in a little town called Crane, Missouri. They called us to my daddy. They said, "You got to come home. Your dad's bad sick." So we went home, flew home, and got to my dad. We walked into the intensive care unit. And there was Preacher Dustin, the one he kicked dirt up on. He said, "Kids, come here. Jennifer, my sister Jennifer, and Jerry and me, we got together." He said, "Come here." He said, and he put his arms around us. He said, "Let's pray for your daddy." He said, "He's going to get saved." So we prayed, my daddy gets saved. You know, God can save anybody. I say God can save anybody. Amen. Don't give up on your loved ones. Amen. And they said, he said, let's pray. And I said, we prayed, and he said, pray. I'm going to go talk to your dad. I'm going to witness to your dad again. So we went in, and my dad had all these tubes in him. Now this was in 1960. He had all the 1969, 70. Had all these tubes in him. He was only these, and he couldn't hardly talk. But I remember what the preacher said. The preacher walked in, and you could hear him outside. He said, "Oscar, don't you think it's about time you got saved?" And my daddy motioned to the preacher to come over. The preacher came over and got close to him. He could hardly talk. He had a massive heart attack. And he said to the preacher, he said, "Preacher, you know, I believe God put me on my back so that I look up at God." My dad got saved. You say, how do you know he got saved? Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I can tell, everybody knew that Oscar Jones got saved. There's something happened to people, we get saved. God comes to live in your life. He got saved. He asked Jesus to save him. And then he sent Preacher Dustin out. He said, go tell my kids to come in there. We didn't want to go in there. Man, we were going in there with the Antichrist. That guy mean as a snake. Man, I had my daddy one time because I burnt the beans on the stove. I let the beans get dry. He took me and kicked me. I was 17, 18 years old. He kicked me across the room. He is mean. And never heard my daddy tell me he loved me. And he said, go tell my kids to come here. So we didn't want to do it, but we went inside. And we walked in there, you wouldn't believe it. He had his hands like this, and then when we came inside, he saw us out of the corner of his eye. He dropped his hands like this. And he said, kids, come here and hold my hand. We went over, we didn't want to do it. But we went over and held his hand. And he looked at us and he said, kids, I never told you this before in my life. I never told you this before. He said, but Jesus just saved me. I want to tell you I love you. And everybody that ever visited Oscar Jones from that Friday to the next Friday, he lived 1 week. But everybody knew something happened to Oscar Jones. It's good to be saved. It's good to get people saved. People need Jesus Christ. And the least we can do, because we're going to heaven, the least we can do is go out here and pass out a tract and tell somebody how to go to heaven. I heard a story about the pastor that was giving out tracts one day, and he saw this little boy walking down the road, and he gave him a tract. And the next day, he saw the little boy walking down the road, and he said, son, did you read that tract? And he said, yes, pastor. He said, that track be tracking me till I got on my knees and got saved. And he said, where's the track at now? He said, I gave it to Mary and it be tracking her. Listen, when I went to the Philippines in 1985, we passed out 900,000 tracks in the Waray dialect. The name of the track was Ampaagi Pakatu Sahimaya, The Way to Heaven. And everybody knew me over there. I got on the radio over there. There was a radio station, DYSM. I got on a radio station over there, and everybody called me the Chinese preacher because I was trying to speak the dialect. And I could say the word, but I could say it the wrong way. I say it, the sound was not good. It was a southern accent. Never forget one time I was soul winning, and I had several people there listening to me soul win. They gathered around me, and I was trying to speak in the dialect, and I was trying to win them to Christ. And And I was praying. I said, "You pray after me." And you know, I was, and I said, "You come pray." Nobody said anything. I looked up; they were not there no more. They're gone. They didn't understand me. But praise God, God is good. Amen. God can use me. God can use you. Amen. I'm so excited about getting to the Philippines. I got there in 1985. And they had electricity 3 hours a day. Typhoon came through and was out for a year and a half. No lights. We had a lampara. You know what a lampara is? Kerosene with a wick. Kerosene, bottle of kerosene with a wick come out. That's what we used at light at night. Big centipedes crawling all over you. When I first got to Northern Samar, I stayed with my wife, mother and father. Both of them are saved now. They're in heaven. Her sister, her younger sister, is married to a pastor, is pastoring in Lapa-Nig. Her younger sister. And, you know, we've had typhoons over there. We've had everything. But, you know, God is good all the time. God always took care of us. But my life story, my daddy got saved. And I went to Baptist Bible College in Springfield from 1969 to 1972. In 1972, I was just a young guy. I was not raised in a Christian home. Praise the Lord for your parents if they're Christian. Amen. My parents were not Christian, except my mother. My mother, you know, she was sick. She got saved. I remember her kneeling down beside the bed, and she had cancer, and she was crying and praying for us to be saved. And praying for my daddy to be saved, and the tears just dropped down, and her King James Bible just wet with tears. And kept praying. My brother got saved. My daddy got saved. But I saw an advertisement on TV one time. It said, "Join the Navy and see the world." I found out that's a lie. I was out one time for 26 days. I didn't see anything but seagulls out in the middle of the ocean. I went in the United States Navy in June the 2nd, 1972. And traveled around. I went to boot camp Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Florida, you got to learn to swim. If you don't know how to swim, you're going to drown. Yeah, United States Navy. They put you on the end of a diving board, and if you don't jump in, they push you in. But I went to Orlando, Florida, graduated, got out of boot camp, went to SK school. That's storekeeper school in San Diego, California. And then they sent me to Guam, a little island in the South Pacific. I remember I was graduating A school. We were graduating, and all the guys were sitting there, and we were getting our orders. And they said, "Seaman Jones, Lane Jones, you're going to Guam in the Mariana Islands." My friend, he was from Casper, Wyoming. His name was Don. He started laughing. Everybody started laughing because I was going to a little island in the South Pacific. And Don was laughing. And then later on they called out Don, my friend's order. They said, "You're going to Adak, Alaska." And we all were laughing. We were dying laughing. And the instructor said, "Don't laugh. There's a girl behind every tree." And Don said, "See that, Lane? There's a girl behind every tree." And the instructor said, "Yeah, but there's no trees." I went to A school, graduated from A school. They sent me to Guam. Mariana Island. I had three of my friends killed in Guam. One of my close friends named Gene Washington one night was playing with a .45 caliber pistol. He was getting out in he was getting out of the Navy, and he was going to the University of Houston on a football scholarship. Big guy, fullback. He took a .45 caliber pistol and said, "Oh, there's nothing in it." He was pointing to this guy. He said, "There," and he put it up to his head, blew the whole side of his head off. You know, you don't know when you're going to die. The Bible says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, your life is but a vapor, appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away." Gene Washington thought he had plenty of time. And, you know, we need to care for others because others have cared for us. Amen. Two ladies from an independent Baptist church came by and knocked on our door when I was a young boy and won us to Christ. And I went to the United States Navy, and I went to the Philippines, and I met my sweetheart. My wife came to America. We were married in San Diego, California. And I got out of the Navy in June 2nd, 1976, moved down to Louisiana, and I went to work driving a milk truck, delivering milk. I didn't have any other work, the only job I could find. One day I came home and two ladies from a Baptist church came by. We had visited this church, this Baptist church close to us. We visited it, and these two ladies came by and won my wife to Christ. Amen. Thank God for good women, amen, good ladies. I came home, and she said, she looked at me and started crying. She said, "You got to go back to the Philippines and win my people to Christ." I said, "What?" She said, "You got to go back. We got to go back to the Philippines. All my people are going to hell." Wow, wouldn't it be great if we had a burden like that? Every time you look at people, you don't see people. You see their soul. Everybody has a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And she said, "We got to go back to the Philippines." I said, "No way. Forget that." Because I knew in the Philippines it's fish and rice. And I'm used to steak and potatoes. And I said, "No, don't talk to me about it no more. I'm not going to the Philippines. Just forget that." And then she just kept praying. Listen, I could tell her no, but I couldn't tell God no. And she kept praying for me and kept praying. She didn't say anything else about it. And I started working for a drugstore, Eckerd Drugs. You know, Jack Eckerd got saved and started Eckerd Drugstore. He got saved. He lived on a cul-de-sac or a round circle, and he came home one night, and there's always the cars at this place, at this house across the street from him. And Jack Eckerd asked his wife, he said, "What are all these cars over here?" And his wife said, "I don't know. Why do you ask me? I don't know." And every night there's a bunch of cars around there. And he asked his wife again, he said, "What's those cars for parked over there?" He said, "I don't know." What she said, "Won't you go ask?" Jack Eckerd walked, a millionaire, started Eckerd Drugstore. He walked across the street, knocked on the door. There was men there having a Bible study in this man's house. And the owner of the house opened the door and he said, "I'm Jack Eckerd across the street." And the man said, "We're having Bible study. Would you like to come in and sit down?" So Jack Eckerd came and sit down, and nobody pushed him to get saved. They just talked about the Bible. And he kept listening to the Bible and he got saved. And then Jack Eckerd became a Christian, millionaire Christian. Eckerd Drugstore. I worked for Eckerd Drugs, and I became manager of the largest Eckerd Drugs in the New Orleans area, La Plaza, Louisiana. We bought two houses. I had a Delta 88 Oldsmobile. Push button. I was rich. I was manager, you know, but, you know, you're a manager, you got to be there 80 and 90 hours a week, or you are the assistant manager. So I was working all the time, making plenty of money, but I was not happy. Listen, there's nothing to make you happy but God.
Amen.
God made you. Amen? You're not an accident, you're on purpose. God made you, and no man is ever going to be happy. And that's the problem with people today. They got to have drugs and they got to have drinking because they don't have God. But if you stay close to God, that's the way to be happy. Everything was all right when Adam and Eve was walking with God in the garden. But the problem was they listened to the devil. The devil destroyed people. Young people, listen to me. Get a Christian education. Learn not the way of the heathen. Amen. Stay away from those worldly people. Amen. Get in a Christian school or homeschool your kid. Amen. Even the Philippines is getting messed up. I got out of the Navy, went and my wife, I was a drugstore manager. But one day, they came talk to me. Don Rector sat down with me at lunch one day, and he said, Lane, I want you to be an area supervisor. I said, no, I'm quitting. He said, what? I said, I'm quitting. I was not happy. My family, I was working all the time. Money never satisfies. Get a bunch of money. You can go to hell with all the money you want. Amen? You can't go to heaven with your money. That's what the Catholics teach. But you can't buy your way to heaven. Amen? You got money, you'll go to hell with your money. Amen? And I told him, I said, no, I'm quitting. So I moved up to South Chicago, where our other sister lived. Got in a little independent Baptist church. And the pastor said, oh, you've been to Bible college. You can lead the singing. I led the singing, but when I led the singing, the ushers outside turned the speakers off. And he said, oh, you can lead the singing. You can teach the singing. I was driving a bus and everything. He said, oh, you need to go to Hiles Anderson College. Take a couple subjects. I went to Hiles Anderson College. And I was taking music in a soul-winning church with Elaine Colston. And I was going to learn to lead singing. I was going to, you know. I tell my guys over there, lead singing, it's just like chasing the mosquitoes away, amen. And so I got in, I started taking two subjects. And I was doing all right. Till one Wednesday, a guy named Jack Hiles preached. And I sit there in my mouth. Never heard anybody preach like that. And so I started going to Hiles Anderson. In June 1982, there's a missionary to Japan named Dave Carter. He came to preach in chapel. And he preached about Daniel getting along with God. And Daniel seeking God's will. And Dave Carter said that day, really spoke to my heart. He said, you can know God's will for your life. This is on a Wednesday. And I was going to school in the morning. And in the afternoon, I was going to work from 3 to 11, right close to the church, this little church. So that day, I prayed and fasted. I said, God, if you want me to go to the Philippines, I want you to show me in this Wednesday night service. God answers prayer. I say God answers prayer. You have not because you ask not. And I say, God, if you want me to go to the Philippines, I want you to show me in this Wednesday night service. And I was working across the street at Standard Brands, driving a truck, loading trucks. I was driving a forklift loading trucks. On that Wednesday night, I work on 3 to 11 or 7 o'clock for my break, so I was going to come over to Wednesday night service. And I said, you show me in this Wednesday night service, you want me to go to the Philippines. I want to get it settled. So I walked in the back doors of church that night. My wife was sitting toward the front. And on the wall there, there was a slide of a little Filipino kid. A Philippine national had called the pastor 45 minutes before the service started and asked if he could show slides of the Philippines. My wife was sitting right there where she's at, close to the front. And I walked in the back doors that night. There's a slide of that Filipino kid on the wall. And God said, there it is. That's what I want you to do. And I walked to the front, sat down beside my wife. And I looked at her. And I said, honey, we're going to the Philippines. And she about fainted. She couldn't believe it. And then I'd already surrendered to go to the Philippines for the invitations given. The invitation given that night, I went over and knelt down, and the pastor came and knelt down beside me. He said, Lane, why did you come? I said, believe God's called me to the Philippines. He said, I knew that 3 months ago. I was just waiting on you to tell me. So, man, I have a long story. I surrendered that night, go to the Philippines. And so I went to Howells Anderson College. I went to Baptist Bible College in 1969-72, but all my grades were A's without this side over here. They were F's. But when God called me to the Philippines, I said, wow, this is what God wants me to do. I made all A's at Howells Anderson College, graduated. And because God spoke, listen, when God speaks to you, there's nothing like it. Oh, if you know God's will for your life, man, you say, why are you staying in the Philippines? Because it's God's will. Nothing greater than doing God's will for your life. And so I went to Howells Anderson and I finished 100 credit hours in 2.5 years. I went to 2 summer schools. I went to talk to Dr. Jurgensen, the vice president. I said, God's really dealing with me about, I need to go to the Philippines fast. I said, can you ask Dr. Howells if I can go into churches and start preaching? And Dr. Howells gave me permission. I was in 52 churches before I got out of Bible college. I got out of Bible college. We had a Globestar travel trailer backed up to the, God provides a Globestar travel trailer. I backed it up to the college in October 9, January 1984. And I went to see Dr. Jurgis. Dr. Jurgis said, you're finished. Go, Lane, go. We took off. Didn't have any money. But God got plenty of money. Amen. God, we took off and God took care of us. I told you about my free baby born in a state park in Tennessee. I'm the doctor. And God, I mean, I could tell you, we found $20 bills laying on the parking lot. We didn't have any more money. God provided. I pulled into a place in Oklahoma City one time in a motorhome. And the tire and the owner, we didn't know. The owner came out and he said, he looked at my motorhome and he said, son, he said, these tires are not tires. These are balloons. And he said, pull your motor home over here to the side. I said, what for? He said, I'm going to put new tires on your motor home. We found out, I just pulled in a service station, found out this guy was going to Brother Vineyard's church there in Oklahoma City. Amen. God guides, he provides. Amen. So we traveled all over the country, and April 1985, we left for the Philippines. And we got to Manila. We left America, and we got to Manila, and I come down off the airplane. I thought I was going into an oven. It was so hot. We got to this guest house, and I told my wife to turn on the air conditioner. She said, "It's been on. So hot over there." And, you know, there have been a lot of trials in the Philippines. I couldn't get used to eating fish and rice, but now I'm eating fish and rice all the time. You know, God can make you what you ought to be. I couldn't believe how I could make it in the Philippines. And we went over there, and we started renting a coconut warehouse for $20 a month. We bring the coconuts out on Saturday to clean it out, and then on Sunday we'd have services. One Sunday I got up to preach, and the first Sunday we rented jeepneys, and we had over 200 the first Sunday. But one time I got up preaching, this couple came walking in the back of the coconut warehouse, and they sat down. And they looked like they were rich. I said, "Wow, these are rich people." And I got up and preached the gospel. And the man, he went to this light to his wife, and he walked down now and got saved. I won him to Christ. And I told him, I said, "Now the first thing after you get saved is you need to get baptized." And he said, "Where do we get baptized?" I said, "Down here on the end of the pier," because we were right by the ocean. So I took him down to the end of the pier, and we went down these steps, and I baptized him in the ocean with his wife. They went and changed, and they walked down and baptized. And I said, I was walking back to the church building where we were meeting, and I said, "I know you're Catholic. Why did you come to the Baptist church?" This is what he said now. Just telling you what he said. He said, "Most of the priests are communists." And he said, "I'm not a communist." Yeah. So he got saved. And he went back to Manila, got baptized. But we have plenty of people in heaven now because somebody cared. C.T. Studd said this. He said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, there's no sacrifice too great for me to make for him." Right. Hudson Taylor said, "Had I 1,000 lives to live, China would claim them all." Missionary over in Africa coming down off the mountain, and he saw this woman walking toward the river. And she had two babies, and he could tell one of the babies were sick. She went over beside the river, and she set the sick baby down on the bank of the river. And the missionary knew what she was going to do. He started running and tried to stop her. She took her little baby that was the healthy baby. She set the sick baby on the bank. She took the little healthy baby over to the side of the river, and she threw it in the river. The crocodiles came down, ate the baby. And the missionary finally made it where she was at, and he grabbed a hold of this old black lady, and he shook her like that. He said, "How could you do that? How could you throw your baby to the crocodiles?" He said, why'd you throw the healthy baby? Why did you throw the sick baby?" And he looked at that missionary and said, "I don't know about your God, but my God deserves my best." She worshiped the crocodiles. and she gave the crocodiles her best baby. I don't know about you, but our God deserves our best. Amen? And it's good to serve God. It's good to live for God. Amen? You know, others need you to care for them. Others have shown us how to care. And God always cares. Casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen? That's something never go out of style. Oh, in 1960s when the Beatles came, and all the guys in the high school started to have real long hair like the Beatles, I went home and told my daddy, I said, "Daddy, I want to have long hair like the Beatles." He looked at me and he said, "Son, you're a redneck. You'll never have long hair. Rednecks don't have long hair." And then the guy came and got a mohawk haircut, you know, one strip down the middle. That was a style. But those styles pass away. The Word of God never changes. You can trust God. You can believe Him. Get your Bible every morning. Get up. Talk to God. Whatever God gives you, you accept it. And be happy that you're still alive, that you can still be used of God. Amen? Okay, thank you. Let's pray.